It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
Greetings and welcome, everybody. It is the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. That's right. The Lifestyle Show is on. And now I'm Ray Adams with you all hour. Thank you so very much for joining us. We're going to be joined in just a moment by Craig Renshaw. He's our PGA of America lifetime member, master instructor. Other accolades and words we want to heap on him all that we can. Craig will be joining us in just one moment, along with Dr. Bob Denny. He's also PGA of America's historian emeritus, still working with the PGA after all these years, and still commenting as great historian that he is on the show today. Well, folks, we've got a women's PGA championship that sets some historical records. We'll talk about that history. And on the PGA Tour, Victor Hovland wins because Scottie Scheffler decided to lip out a very short putt on the first playoff hole. So Victor earns it, wins it, fair and square, and right up there. Scottie lost it. I mean, that's just all there is to it. Shouldn't have even been in a playoff. But we're going to comment all about that in just a few moments. And I want to let everybody know that these shows, both the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show and my anchor show, Great American Golf, every Saturday morning, is first aired on the golfnewsnet.com, thegolfnewsnet.com. So these shows go on to thegolfnewsnet.com on their day of broadcast for 26 and a half, almost 27 years now, which is the Monday evening and the Saturday morning Arizona time. And after that, they go to all the big audio platforms, television the same way, the Golf News Net, and then out to all the big video platforms. So that's how you see the shows, hear the shows, watch the shows. And I finally want to say I've got all my big, big America's 250th birthday golf gift guide coming out this week. We're going to be sending it in a couple days. It's pretty much full. I'll mention some of those companies later in the show that have come on as sponsors and are going to be in the guide. If you want your guide, how do you get on my big, big email list? You write to me, golfadams@msn.com. All right, Craig Renshaw, Dr. Bob, welcome to the show. Good morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Good, thanks. Okay. How are you?
Good evening, good evening, good evening, good morning, good morning, wherever you are in whatever time zone, anywhere around the world, I should say again to everybody. Well, we have a big Independence Day, 4th of July, America's 250th birthday coming up this Saturday. So we want to make sure everybody's having a great week leading up to that. Certainly, we want to make sure everybody is safe and healthy and has a lot of fun. be careful out there on those roads. And we're going to have some very special talk about that this coming Saturday on Great American Golf. But let's get right to some wrap-up of golf around the world. And we're going to start with what I think is the most important event. I believe I know that it is the most important event. You can weigh in, golfadams@msn.com. Let me know. What do you think? What's the most important event that we had all week long, wrapping up yesterday, Bob?
As the Women's PGA Championship.
Absolutely, you're right.
It's held under that name since 2015 when NB Park won at Westchester. And most every one of these events since the PGA and the LPGA collaborated have been good. I would say yesterday was not as exciting as the ones, but with Hae-ryon Roo of Korea winning by two over Ino Yoon of Korea. Brooke Henderson could have had it in her pocket and just couldn't do it. I felt bad. I was pulling for Brooke as I did way back when she won at Sahali. And even notice that her sister, who gave birth to a baby, named the baby Sahali. So that
Huh.
was nice. It was
Thanks.
nice to see that. But anyway, it was women's PGA at Hazeltine, and Hazeltine once again, obviously proved that it is not a pushover at the end.
Well, you win a golf tournament finishing 13 under par at Hazeltine. I don't care who you are, that's a big deal. She shot 70 yesterday. She earned nearly 2 million from a 13 million purse. But more notably, I read and heard, Craig, that she became the first player to win a major after trailing by 10 or more shots in the opening round since 1964. Quite an accomplishment. She played like a big champ that she is.
Yeah, I mean that's quite a stat, and I can looking at the stats and everything like that, that's quite a big deal. The golf course played a whole lot tougher on the weekend. 68, I believe, was the lowest score yesterday, and I think that was the lowest score on Saturday. So when you're going a couple under and that kind of stuff, it definitely makes it more difficult. And I mean, we talked about it on Saturday after they went so deep. It's good that the golf course firmed up and the rough got a little more challenging and the greens got a little more challenging.
It did. The course really did. And I'm interested, Bob, in the leaderboards all the time, and I'm looking at them. And we spoke about this on the Great American Golf Saturday show, and that there were not many Americans really in that top 15 or so. But if you look at the final leaderboard, of course, Heron Yu wins at 13 under. Yoon, who had shot that first round, unbelievable 63. she finishes second alone. Brooke Henderson out of Canada shoots 10 under. And then from the Netherlands, Weber at 10 under. And then the Americans come in. Allison Lee, Allison Corpus, Austin Kim, Nelly Korda there at T8. And then you mean you can go on and on, but we really did get the Americans way up that leaderboard in the end. And it's always great to see that because it is a global tour, though. You're always going to have a huge diversity and variety of players from everywhere. I'm very proud of Heron Yu. 13 under par, she wins her 2 million. She gets her 2 points going toward the World Golf or the LPGA Hall of Fame. And Nelly still has to wait for her LPGA Hall of Fame. Bob, tell us about what is it she needs to do.
Well, she shouldn't shoot 71, 73 on the weekend. That would help. And also, the only person in the top 10 that ever broke 70 was Se-young Kim, and she's won this event before. So it's you got to perform at the end, as simple as that. I thought Brooke looked the best of the group, I thought, coming down the stretch until she missed a few at the end, and then that was it. But Hazeltine will do that too. I played the golf course, I've followed it. I've been up there for every event except this one in my career, to see it with the PGA or the US Open. So it's that kind of golf course, and it's I give credit obviously to Heron for making the rally she did, but she went 68-70 in the weekend. That shows that the other people were not catching up and keeping pace. Ina Yoon went 75-70 on the weekend. That tells me something right there. She had her in her viewpoint, she could have easily had it in her rearview mirror by then.
Absolutely, Craig. What about this young lady? She really played some lights out golf, didn't she?
She did. I mean, it's, to you shoot 6 under on the weekend on a major, that's quite an accomplishment. And she's one of the few that did that. So she played well the last 3 rounds, and that was enough to hold her in and win by 2.
A couple other quick notes I read and heard as I watched a lot of the tournament. I watched a lot of the play, loved it. I was impressed by a number of different shots by a number of different players. But yeah, Nelly didn't play up to her standard, certainly on the weekend. She's two points away from the LPGA Hall of Fame. We know she's going to get it. It's just a matter of how. She can get it at the Avion Championship coming up. She also will eventually overtake Annika Sörenstam's all-time career money record, which you would expect that with all these new huge big dollars, Bob.
Oh yes, oh yes, and she's not. She's a crusty 27 years old. Come on
Oh,
now, come
wow.
on now. She set her pace and the bar very high, just like Scotty has early in their career. So we expect the best every week, and these people are human.
And just so that Ina Yoon feels, and I know she's sorely disappointed, but just so she feels like she's in some great company, her 63 tied the tournament's all-time 18-hole scoring record, and she shares that with players Patty Sheehan, Meg Mallon, Kelly Schoen, Siyoung Kim, and Nelly Korda in 2021. So she's got some great company that she's running with. She's a heck of a player. I fully expect to see her around the winner's circle, coming up and soon. Craig, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, she's still playing good golf, and the difference in, sixth place and first place, really, in a lot of cases, when you talk to the players that win a lot, really isn't that much. So, if you look at the stats, it's just a break here, a kick there, rolling into the fairway versus rolling into the rough. I mean, that's the luck of the Irish that you talk about, or something just happens to be, not your day to day, the rub of the green. I mean, so that's our sport.
When I look at these golf tournaments and I look at these majors for the women, then I look at the majors for the men, I'm glad they're giving more broadcast coverage to the ladies. Yes, they did a live from for the women's US Open. I did not see that they did any live from for this women's PGA championship. Maybe I missed it, but I looked and looked and looked and searched everywhere. And I think that the Golf Channel needs to be doing live from for every women's major as well as the men's majors. Where am I
That's
going
fair.
wrong, Bob?
I don't know what the dynamics are behind the scenes. I
I
don't know if
do.
it's, do you
They
know,
told me. Oh, I do.
is it sponsorship?
It was, let me paraphrase the answer that I got a couple of years back when I really made a big inquiry into this, and it was money, because the answer to all questions that you ever want to know anything about is not all about the money. It's only about the money. We know that.
All right.
But the answer I got was there's not enough interest. It's simply just not there for women's golf.
That means one tournament in women's golf.
There's not enough interest to do live from for women's golf majors.
But they did it for the U.S. Open, right?
They did. Craig?
What does that tell you?
Well, what does it tell you? You tell us what it tells you.
Behind the scenes, they're not getting the support dollars they have to have a live from. Simple
No,
as that.
no.
Simple as that. Very simple.
Craig, should they do it? And that's why they're not doing it, I'm presuming. It's what I was told a while back.
Well, yeah, I mean, should they in a perfect world? Morally, sure. The USGA has a little more power, I would assume, than the PGA. Their tournaments probably draw a lot better than ours do. So if you're going to televise the men's open, they require you to televise the women's open or do the live from. That's what they want. That's how they leverage it. The PGA has decided that they're not going to leverage it that way. So, that's just what it comes across that way.
I think it's very simple, and your question is well put. It's just that we have in my career, I have not seen the emphasis on women's golf at the highest levels, even when the stars were out there, the Anikas, the Kari Webbs, and others reach a crescendo where we have a better display and sponsorship, et cetera, et cetera. And then it started to change a bit with Mike Wan, improve, and he did not. And then he went to the USGA. So I just don't. I wish it was there. I'm all for it. I think it brings much more attention.
And that's probably Mike Wan's doing that it is being covered by the Golf Channel. He's probably got that. He's the one that probably behind the scenes that orchestrated that.
Well, I 100% agree, by the way. All right, this segment is being brought to you by some wonderful companies, and I've got to mention three: Squares Golf Shoes, Squairz. With me for so many years, have they got everything in the world? You've got to get to their website, from baseball shoes to pickleball shoes. And yes, oh wow, did I mention their magnificent, disrupting distance shoe, the comfort shoe, the Squares Golf Shoes. And there's so many varieties, colors, shapes. Everything you could imagine. The styles are there for both the men and the women. Go to squares.com. And I've got to mention Tour Edge. My gosh, they've got the mini driver. They've got the new putter. We're going to have John Claffey on soon. And you've got to get to touredge.com and find out more. And then I've got to thank CertaFresh Cigar. CertaFreshCigar.com. Eric Nelson, his family, his whole crew. Everybody wishes you a wonderful Independence Day, 4th of July, America's birthday holiday coming up, as do all the companies and all the products and all the sponsors on my shows. And well, we do too. So make sure you get to CertaFreshCigar.com. Everything is there for your next outing, for your golf shop. They're in over 3,000 shops, and we're helping them to open more. Want to get those three wonderful companies in, guys. Let's go to another subject. When and Bob, we've talked about this, the two-tier Byron Rolap system, the two-tier Byron Rolap, Brian Rolap, I should say, system on the PGA Tour. We talked about it the other day. Now it's being touted and talked about and routed around the internet. Should they just do away with the Korn Ferry Tour, since Rory called it basically a Korn Ferry Tour lookalike? What do you think, Bob?
I don't like the idea of eliminating any options for struggling professionals to gain a career. I think that is a slap in the face. Golf is a merit, should be meritocracy all the way. It should be hard earned, and the cut should mean something. I think this two-tier system is going to have a lot more than just what we're talking about. It's going to be heated, and it's going to be discussed. It's going to be crazy with sponsorship juggling. It's going to be all kinds of crazy things happening in the coming months and years. So I am, if Rory calls it a glorified Korn Ferry Tour, well, he might be right on it. But for now, it's we saw this weekend at the Travelers what we like to see. We like to see the best players fighting it out. Okay, we saw that. We can't guarantee that.
Greg?
Well, I agree with that. The PGA Tour, we could do probably a full show of this
Yeah.
and bring people on and try to discuss this and everything.
And well, we will.
They're not going to get rid of the Korn Ferry right now. I mean, I don't know when does their sponsorship end. It probably doesn't end till 31 or 32. That's why they're not going to get rid of it yet.
Well, I don't think they should get rid of it, but maybe they could blend it in somehow.
Well, they think they're going to blend it. They do. They think there's going to be crossovers of players that are going to have to play here to play there. Or if you're not in, let's say you're 110th on the upper tier and you need to make money, you're going to go down to the lower tier and try to make money to get into the. I mean, they fully expect that. That's what they're hoping for.
And to
You know.
follow up with Craig, the answer is 2028 for the current contract.
Okay, there you go. Thank you.
Oh,
I
okay.
mean,
So we've got another more than a year for that. Okay, go ahead, Craig.
no. I mean, that's the reality of that is that they're, you know, I said this 2 months ago when we were having, you know, the questions about Liv and how their stuff was going to be gone next year. And I said this, that we don't know what's going to happen with the PGA Tour. And we don't. And they still, you know, they feel like they've released the world to us and they don't know anything right now. They don't. They don't. And
No,
you know,
they
this
don't.
big deal of what they gave us last week, they didn't re as I said, they still have a two-tier system. There's a two-tier system now there. How is that any different? You can put a different name on it and shine it differently. It's the same system.
Good point. Good point. And Craig, I think you also mentioned that who knows, we could have a waste management cognizant
Yes.
collection. That's very possible.
You know what I actually thought about the other day, or actually this morning when I was coming back to get ready to do this, is when are we going to have a sponsorship of the golf course like the waste management at Wingfoot or something? When are we going to have that? How long before that happens in golf? Because I'm fully believing, and I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, that the golf courses, the ones that are surviving right now, the ones that are really doing well are the golf courses. The courses are the one that are making the difference. It's the courses that are making the signature event.
Right.
That's what's going. So when are we going to see the Waste Management TPC Southwinds open or something like that? When is that coming? Because there is no doubt it's coming soon.
I Bob?
I totally agree with that. It's we talked about the juggling, you know, that there's a juggling match going on behind the scenes. Who's going to be getting the most return on investment, et cetera, et cetera. Like Craig said, the courses are the ones that sell to the viewers. What's the most interesting thing to watch when you on a weekend is the dynamics of the layout, shot values. Is it difficult for the bulk of the field to gain on the field? That's the more important thing to watch. And I saw it at Aronimink. I saw it at Shinnecock, obviously. I see it at Pebble Beach quite often, you know, when the weather picks up.
I just don't, you know, we had the big announcement the other day about this new system. And the strad thing is, they had to bring Tiger out of rehab to go do this. Really? This is what we had to do. This is what we had. We haven't seen Tiger for since he was arrested. This is the first time we see Tiger. And the man who is 50 years old and his body's all beaten up from golf, they have to pull Tiger Woods out so that people will watch it so that they can hear the announcement. That is how irrelevant the tour is without Tiger Woods.
And did Tiger Woods make a difference being there, introducing Brian? Did that cause the global golf community and all of the global golf journalists to wake up and say, oh, wow, this is a very big deal? Or if Brian Roelof would have made those same announcements, sans Tiger Woods, would the golf world and journalists have woke up and say, oh, wow, this is a big deal? Because they've been waiting for 3 years for something like this anyway. Any little release, any little crumb of information from the PGA Tour, everybody is there ready like chickens in a barnyard to peck it up. Where am I going wrong, Bob?
Well, Tiger Woods' role on the tour was to being a chair of the committee for this for that selection committee or future competitions, they called it committee. And I agree with Craig. You know, did we get anything by him making a statement? No, I don't think that it was all. And that was just, gee, we could be sitting in a boardroom, you know, and that'd be as much buzz as you'll get out of it, from my point of view.
Well, and if he's been in rehab trying to get himself healthy, which in reality we all should be wanting him to be healthy, and I believe when he left, it was he was going to get his life and everything, you know, in order, and life was the first thing he put in there. How much could he have been involved in this if he's been in rehab for so long?
Good point.
It's important that we cover the travelers, Craig. I know you've got a scoot. You've got some work and things this afternoon. So you've only got about another 5 minutes with us, I think, and hope. So let's, and then we're going to break anyway. Bob and I will return, folks. So let's listen to Craig as he talks about Scottie Scheffler. You are one of the nation's most important putting teachers. I know you specialize that in your instruction, Craig, for many, many years, Aimpoint especially. Let's talk about Scottie Scheffler on the first playoff hole at the Travelers, misses that short little putt that lips out. He had hit it inside Hovland by several feet. Hovland makes his birdie putt on the first playoff hole. And then Scottie is left to, well, he needed that birdie putt as well. You would have thought that this was I can close my eyes and in my sleep make this putt, but it lips out. Now, is that just the rub of the green? Is that the turn of a ball? Did Hovland win by sheer luck, which is what Chambly and others have talked about, that when a tournament is won like this, this close, it's pure luck. Because it could have gone the other way simply. I mean, it wasn't like a 2-3-4 shot victory. It had to go to a playoff. Then it had to go to Scheffler lipping. What was it? A 4 or 5 footer? What was it? A 5 footer?
I think it's 4 5 footer. Footer. Yeah.
AP's at 4-4 and then Hovland a 7 footer.
Okay.
You know, Scotty's and Victor's stats are very similar this week. You can look at them. Scottie hits it on average closer than most people. This is not a putt that we're unfamiliar seeing Scottie miss, you know, or lipping out like that. It's not something I think he'll shake it off. It's as much as maybe we saw last couple of years, those putts fall and he wins. This year, they're lipping out, and what is this, his third or fourth, second place finish this year, I guess?
Four, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, that's, like I said, there's a lot of luck involved. His speed is off one centimeter of a roll or whatever. that is why when you see these players, and to me, as much as I was just picking on Tiger, that's when we start to appreciate Tiger of what he did for such a long period of time, that he was able to keep that standing up for so long. It's very hard to do. Scottie is still playing exceptional golf. He's got the right attitude. It wouldn't surprise me if he wins if he wins the Open or something like that and just keeps flowing. He's still having an excellent year. It's just not as excellent as it was last year.
You know, Craig, when Victor Hovland shoots a 61 in the second round and Scottie Scheffler shoots a 60 in the second round, Colin Morikawa, where did he come from? And
he shot 9 back, 9 under yesterday.
He shot 61 yesterday to get to 20 under. I think these scores were way too low, but it tells me that the course was set up easy. They wanted a birdie fest. They got what they wanted. Matt Fitzpatrick shoots a 64 twice during the tournament. Wyndham Clark was right there again. America's
great leaderboard.
It's an unbelievable leaderboard. It is a PGA Tour dream leaderboard. Bhatia was there. Corey Connors out of Canada had a 63. Spahn shoots a 64. Alex Fitzpatrick, 64. McIntyre, 65. Everybody's globally favorite finger-pointing, let's call it that, Robert McIntyre. Right, Bob? Russell Henley shoots a 64. Sam Burns was in there. We could go down the line. Hogard shoots a 62. But the golf course was set up easy. They wanted a birdie fest. They got their birdie fest, right, Craig?
Yeah, absolutely. And after last week, that's what they wanted.
We love the birdie fest, Craig? Do we love that? Do the fans love it? Does the TV sponsors love it? Does everybody love the birdie fest, the Wild West shootout?
Well, compared to the week before, yes. It's a great contrast. But, unfortunately, we've gotten used to that 21 under par doesn't stand out anymore.
Unbelievable. Well, congratulations to Hovland because he hasn't really done a whole heck of a lot, but he's been trending on and off, Bob.
Oh, yes. And I enjoyed his Norway fans. It looked like they came from the World Cup and started rowing in the grass for him. That was terrific.
We're going to go to a break here in just a second. I want to mention that Mrs. Billy Casper passed away this last week. Byron Casper, one of the obviously sons of a very, very large family. And I knew Billy Casper was on my TV show. He was on this radio show. I interviewed him numerous times, had his home phone number, spoke to Mrs. Casper numerous times. A lovely, wonderful, elegant lady. I send condolences and blessings to Byron Casper. I know Byron. Maybe we'll have Byron on to talk about this and his family. He's such a great guy too. But we send our thoughts and prayers out to the Casper family in losing their matriarch. Bob, you may have a nugget about that later in the show. We're going to go to a break here in just a moment. But Craig, I've got one more question and then your final word before we go to break, and you've got to take off. Nelly hits a 300. And I don't know what was it, Bob or Craig? 320 or 30 yards, something like that. I don't remember the exact number. But a 300 plus yard drive during the tournament. Is that too long? Does the ball need to be rolled back? Shouldn't we be playing golf at a major championship where those things just simply don't happen? Or Cam Young hitting that drive at the Players on 18? Is that what everybody wants to see? Craig?
I think Craig has left us.
Oh, Craig retired. Okay, he did have to get going. We're going to go to break, Bob. When we come back, let's talk about that. And we'll be back in just a moment. These messages are very important from our sponsors. They're going to help you with your game. Thank you so very much for listening to them. And when we come back, we're going to have a lot more fun with Dr. Bob Denny and you and me, your humble correspondent. Be back in just a moment.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic T-holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. So good.
All right, greetings. Welcome back, everybody, to the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. Ray Adams here with you the rest of the hour. Yes, Mr. Craig Renshaw, our PGA professional, had to go, and I had given him a final word, but he had already had to drop off to get back to his teaching position and things he's doing today. Dr. Bob Denny from the PGA of America, Historian Emeritus, back with me again. Bob, welcome. And I want to thank Vacay Mode Travels. They're our travel segment sponsor. And listen to a couple of things they have to say at vacaymodetravels.com. The ocean stretching endlessly behind you. Beautiful blooms framing the aisle. Your favorite people gathered nearby, and the moment you've been dreaming about finally becoming a reality. This is one of the reasons couples fall in love with destination weddings. The setting is already breathtaking. The atmosphere is relaxed and intimate, and every moment feels a little more meaningful when you're celebrating in paradise. Years from now, you may not remember every detail, but you'll remember how it felt standing there surrounded by love, with the view that you will never forget. If an oceanfront ceremony is part of your wedding vision, or your travel vision, or your golf outing vision, consider this your sign to start dreaming bigger. You want to go to vacaymodetravels.com. What a great travel sponsor, and we thank them so very much for being with me. We'll have them on again soon. And of course, I also want to thank, and I'll do that later in the show, some of our great sponsors, and they'll be included in America's 250th birthday golf gift guide going out here in just a couple days. And as I said at the top of the hour, folks, if you want on my big email list to get all of my gift guides and newsletters and correspondence throughout the year, you write to me, golfadams@msn.com. And you can also comment there at golfadams@msn.com on guest commentary, your opinions about different topics, things you want us to talk about upcoming. Do that, golfadams@msn.com. All right, Dr. Bob is back. Let's pick up where we left off, Bob. Do the fans really love these massive drives, and do they don't want a ball rollback, do they?
The average fan, I think, enjoys seeing an athletic out there, an athletic move by a golfer and knocking these balls a long ways.
Right.
I think the average fan and golfer likes to see that power. It's interesting that on the women's tour, the LPGA, the average distance is 255 to 260. And that is quite a thing, considering the average clubhead speed for women is 96 miles per hour, which is down from the men's is probably, about 20 for the biggest swingers on the tour, powerful. But these are great athletes. These are people that take great training with their clubs. These are people who have different prototypes out there. They have different launch angles. They have different coaches. They have all different things at their disposal to get the most value. And the golf courses are set up with good, tremendous maintenance. Sometimes the rollout, the average carry distance, according to I've seen in the stats, is 223 yard carry distance, just the carry distance. So if you put a athletic move from a woman like Nelly Korda or some of the big stronger ones, like Charlie Hull and others, they can get the maximum distance from the equipment they have. But I think it's fun to see the women power in making a chance to reach a par 5 and 2. I like seeing that, and it's helped, and it's exciting to see, and it's just a part of the game that we're going to be at forever, whoever side of the argument you're on. But for me, I enjoy it.
I can't wait for the listeners to weigh in on this at golfadams@msn.com. Please do, folks. Here's my thought. I agree with you on that. I think the sponsors, I think the networks, I think the fans love to see some big ball hitting. I also think that they love to see great ball striking. They love to see skillful work around the greens with deft hands. They like to see great putts. Long ones like J.J. Spahn to win a U.S. Open. Short little ones that... Well, Scottie Scheffler missed one yesterday. Okay. But call me old-fashioned. Call me, I don't know, golf history. I believe that golf should be played the way that it was made to be played. You hit a driver off the tee or three wood or whatever you want to hit. You're in the fairway, you hit a second shot, and that puts you on a par four. Now you have two putts to make par and a chance for a birdie. Par fives, you hit your shot off the tee, you hit another shot. If you can possibly make it, great. But 80% of the time, 70% of the time, it should be a shot in front of the green where you then pitch up. And again, you have a two shots left for par, maybe a birdie. I'd like to see golf played from the right tees, from the right players at the right times. And I'm especially talking to you amateur players out there. Please, please do yourself and everybody play from the right tees. And that means for you to play like the pros play. And I'm not talking about driving par fours. I'm not talking about par fives and two, where you hit a driver and a little and some mid iron, which I don't agree with that, but whatever. I'm talking about put yourself in a position to be able to play the course like the pros play. Play the forward tees if you need to. Play whatever tees it takes for you to put the ball in the fairway and then hit your second shot onto the par four, your second shot in front of a par five. Bob, where am I going wrong?
I have no problem with it when it relates to the average golfer. That's the same thing. I think my thing is just the entertainment value that we were trying to watch through the game. I agree with amateur golfers should not be playing tees that are outside their own ability because that just slows up play on a golf course.
But
And it,
most of them do.
most of them,
Many of them.
many of them, maybe them, yeah.
What's the number?
I
I
don't
mean,
know, but all
go.
I know is, pace of play is what is one of the plagues of the game, and it's always been a plague of the game for centuries because people try to accomplish something that's outside their ability when they should be doing it for the enjoyment. And I would think par is pretty darn good to have in your pocket. You know, I don't know why you have to feel that you have to challenge yourself with a drive and in a shot that you have no way of reaching the green. And then you hit a ball in out of position, and that's what causes the problems. So I'm all for navigating a person around the golf course, navigating. And the best who ever did that was Jack Nicklaus. And he played within the parameters, even though he was in his prime, he could smash it a mile with a persimmon wood.
If you go to my YouTube site, Bob, at Match Play TV, you'll find the Lee Trevino television episode we filmed a number of years back. And that is maybe the most watched or one of the most watched television episode in my 16-year TV show history that's over on YouTube. They're not all over there, but many are. During that episode, Lee Trevino talks about the reason, the real reason why he didn't play in the Masters. And then he goes on to talk about Jack Nicklaus as the greatest course manager in history. So there you go. Lee Trevino agrees with you about Nicklaus.
Okay.
Nuggets.
Nuggets.
I'm getting people that are beating me up for nuggets.
All right.
And by the
Next week.
way, I learned something. Let's talk about gold nuggets, Bob. This will be a fun little, you know, little sidebar, little sidebar, folks. I heard that gold had surged in January of this year to over $5,000 per ounce. Did you know that, Bob?
Wasn't in my view for this week. No.
I didn't know it in January, and I didn't know that yesterday, when I read all about it. Well, it has now fallen to about 4,000, but they're saying it's coming back. It's going to come back. It's going to go back. It's going back. It'll be back over 5,000 by the end of the year, or certainly 27. So invest in gold, buy gold, invest in gold. No one's paying me to say that. That is not my advice. I am not a financial advisor. We may have somebody like that on to talk about it. because we have a wonderful, wonderful financial advisor that does come on this show, and we're going to get him on. He's a wonderful young man who has his company, and we're going to be talking all about what's going on with your portfolio and how you can improve on that. We're talking about Caleb Jelcik. He is from the Crimson Glory Advisory Group, Bob. And I'm mentioning this as basically a plug for him, yes. But you want to contact him if you want to know more about your financial situation, have him help you, or about gold, 360-480-0214. Caleb Jelcik, we'll have him on. Gold at those magnificently high prices. So, Bob, your nuggets are just invaluable. There you go.
Well, if I can gather some gold to take home after that, that sounds pretty good.
Well, we need some, right?
Yes. This week is the John Deere Classic in Silvis, Illinois. It's coming up, and that is the one of my favorite local events I was able to watch in my lifetime, in my career, early career. And I went to every course they had there when it used to be the Quad Cities Open, but it's from July 2nd to the 5th at TBC Deer Run. And what I'm bringing up about this golf tournament is they have survived through economic upturns and downs. They brought in some of the greatest players over the years who became stars by winning. Jordan Spieth was his youngest winner there in 2005. And this course was designed by D.A. Weibring. You remember that name from way back?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Right. Right. Since 2008, this golf tournament has sponsored a charter flight for those that want to go over to the UK, and it could be directly ahead of the Open Championship. But now it's to the Scottish Open Championship, which is co-sponsored with the PGA Tour. So it's been a great nugget to have in their pocket. It's why they keep bringing some good people and good players into the field. The John Deere Classic was the first time I ever get to watch Bryson DeChambeau compete. So it's got its own thing. And one of the unique little nuggets here for gold, in 2005 and 2006, there was a sponsor exemption in this tournament given to a golfer by the name of Michelle Wee.
Wow. Very cool. Yeah. So we have finished here in June, the Travelers Championship. And we're going to be heading this week to the John Deere. We love the John Deere Classic. I just think it's a great event. There's been so many things over the years, as you said, happened there. Four players, great tournament for golf, and hope that it stays alive and well and healthy and strong on the PGA Tour. They are then headed over to the Scottish Open at the Renaissance Club. And then they have another event in there right afterwards in Louisville, Kentucky, the ISCO Championship, whatever that is. I got my graduate degree and lived in Louisville, Kentucky for a number of years. Love Louisville. Went to the Kentucky Derby in Louisville. Everybody loves Louisville. By the way, that's how you say it, folks. Louisville. Beautiful city, wonderful Kentucky. And then, of course, we have the Open Championship at Royal Birkdale. So that's what's going on the men's tour coming up. And we're going to be right there for all of it. We are still in the midst of championship season. And, Bob, what's happening with the ladies? We're going from one major championship finishing up yesterday for the women's PGA, and we're going to take a little bit of a break. And then we're going right into the very next in a row Avion Championship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the Avion. Back to back on the women's tour. Is that?
Yeah.
Have we done that before?
Oh, yeah. It's happened, but it's not regular. But July 9 to 12 is the Avion Championship.
Yeah.
I was interested this week to be not to overshadow, but I was interested watching Michael Block compete in the Dick's Open on the.
Yeah, what about Michael Block?
He triple bogeyed the last hole for a 67, tied for ninth.
So he would have shot a 64, and what would have happened?
Then if three shot difference, he would have been, let's see, he would have finished fourth. But he that was his first PGA Tour Champions event. All credit to Michael Block from California for doing it. People remember him making his name in 2023 at the
Yep.
PGA Championship at Oak Hill.
Is Michael Block
And
going
the
to
winner,
clean? Go
yeah,
ahead.
just I
Oh,
was going to
sorry.
say,
Go ahead. Sorry. Go, go,
and the
go.
winner of the Dick's Open was Dickie Pride, who defeated Padraig Harrington in a playoff.
Yes. Great, great tournament. Watched a few minutes of it. I didn't get to watch a lot of it because I was stuck on the women's PGA and on the Travelers, but I did watch a little bit. So that's what's happening there. They played at Enjoy Golf Course. Been a standard golf venue for, I don't know, decades, I guess, on the tour. Enjoy in Endicott, New York. And then they are headed to the US Senior Open Championship. And that's at Scioto. You talked about it. Padraig Harrington being the defending champion. They then go to Firestone, where Miguel Angel Jimenez is the defending champion. We've got a lot of golf on the PGA Tour Champions going on. And what's going on over in Europa? What's happening in Europe on the DP World, Bob?
Well, they let's see here. They got this. Give me a second here. I'm just was getting my
The
front done.
Italian Open happened.
Oh, that's right. Thank you.
And then they're headed this week to the BMW International in Munich, Germany,
Right.
München. They're going to Bavaria, folks. And then, of
Right.
course, they'll all go to the Scottish Open that next week. And
Right.
then they'll go to the Open Championship in the middle of July. So that's all the big world tours going on.
Right.
A lot of fun to follow all that, especially the ladies with the Evian coming up. So we've got a big, big schedule of golf in championship season all over everywhere. What is it? Everything all at once, every time, everywhere. They made a movie, something like that. It's Christmas in July, everybody. I love Christmas in July. The Hallmark Channel plays all the wonderful Christmas movies, and people are shopping, deals are going on. I'm a big Christmas. That's my favorite holiday. Has been since I was a child, still is today. I love putting up the Christmas ornaments and all of the decorations. I hate taking them down. I wait till the last second. We love it. And Christmas is such a wonderful time, and so meaningful in so many ways for so many people, as are all of the holiday seasons. We'll talk about that as we get into the fall, the fourth quarter, and all of that. My gift guide's going out for Black Friday, early November, early December for the holiday season there. But Christmas in July means that there is some very, very wonderful gifts coming your way, folks, in my America's 250th birthday gift guide. It'll be going out in the next couple of 2 or 3 days. When you get it, Christmas in July, get some gifts, buy them, get some great pricing from the gift guide, put them away, tuck them away, and give them away as holiday gifts if you like, or there'll be something special for you. Bob, I'm going to give you the last word.
Going back to my fun tournament, which is now called the John Deere Classic, when it was the ninth Quad Cities Open, I happened to be a reporter, young reporter in Iowa, and I went to the 1979 Quad Cities Open. I watched Sam Snead, who became the youngest to do anything on the tour by shooting in his age. He shot a 66 at age 67 that year, and he enthralled the media. It was fun, and he made he. I even followed him in. He let me come in and watch him change clothes, and watch him show me off with all the putters he had in his locker. The guy was unbelievable. Still one of the greatest athletes, and unsung of all the things, Sam Snead.
You know, Sam Snead may be the greatest all-around athlete ever on the PGA Tour. I know that Hale Irwin was a great athlete. I know that John Brody was a great athlete, although he accomplished nothing
like those players. And there's been other all-around multi-sport great athletes that have played golf on the tour. But I just read and am trying to get on the show Rich Beem. He was an excellent athlete in other sports, but settled into golf, and he then nearly quit the game and went off and sold what, telephones or something, or
cell phones. Yeah.
And then after that, he came back and ended up winning a PGA championship. And, you know, there's a lot of great athletes, but I think, in my opinion, and probably in a lot of sports historians' opinion, that Sam Snead is the greatest all-around athlete to ever play in the PGA Tour.
Yep. And he
what
endured.
What do you think?
He endured all those
forever.
Years. If it wasn't for macular degeneration, who knows how far he could have gone into his late years and play the game. I watched people tee the ball up from on range, and he hit 270 yards with no trouble.
Yep.
That's how good he was. And I watched him kick up and hit a cross at the top of this. I'm trying to say the top of your hallway door. I can see him touch yes, how good he was. He was flexible. He had an unbelievable feel. And one little story quickly, if I could, is Joanne Carner watched him hit a ball, and the ball goes out there about 200 and some yards, then it starts to fade at the end. She says, "Sam, how in the world were you able to do that and get it to fade just at the tail end?" He says, "Well, you just move your hands down at you hit the edge of right before you hit the ball, and you make a slight little adjustment. Only he could do that."
No, nobody else could do that. No.
Yeah.
No. Listen, I remember standing, and I can't remember where we were, but I think I was at Desert Mountain Golf Club here in Scottsdale a number of years ago. Chichi Rodriguez. You know, he was a great player. He was an entertainer, a fan favorite. Chichi stood on the tee, and he told the crowd where he was doing a clinic during the traditions, I think, when it was there years and years ago. He said, "I'm going to hit a ball, and I'm going to fade it. And then very quickly, I'm going to hit this next ball here, and I'm going to draw it. And those two balls are going to hit each other in the air." Can you believe the guts of even saying that?
Well,
forget about doing it.
Yeah. I saw also something unique is a at Ridgewood Country Club, where Byron Nelson used to be in the early years, have a job there. He would show off to some of the guys on the staff that he could hit the flagpole from the other side of the parking area in front of the club from the concrete by just hitting a ball straight on. He smacked the pole. People with unbelievable skills, natural skills like what you just described, their rarities. And I always admire what they could pull off, because those stories have lasted for decades.
I remember sitting right on the apron during the tournament, and Chi-Chi stroke a putt. That was probably a 10-footer. And it burned the lip, and just, you know, he missed it just past a few inches. And I was standing right there, and I probably wasn't 10 feet from the cup, and we were all sitting on the apron, many of us there. And I said out loud, "Good putt, Chi-Chi." He turned around and looked at me, and he said, "No, it wasn't. Good putts go in."
I've heard that one before. Yeah,
that's the kind of fierce competitor they all
yes.
are.
Right.
But especially the greats. And he was right. One of the greats. Today's Mark Adam Hensby's birthday. He's 55 years old. He's an Australian PGA Tour player. He lives right here in the Phoenix area. And I've had had him on my TV show. We're going to get Mark on the on this show. And we're going to talk to Mark. He is now, obviously, Champions Tour. he won on the PGA Tour many long years ago. At what tournament that really gave rise to a lot of players? We spoke about it earlier. What's his sole victory?
Mark Hensby?
Yeah, well, you know the answer. We'd already talked about it. It's your favorite, one of your favorite tournaments. The John Deere.
John Deere. Well, okay, I'm sorry. I was
So,
my
oh
mind was
no.
going to all places.
Well, we're going all over the place, and I know I'm
Yes,
catching you
you
with
are.
it's a trick question, Bob.
Yeah.
Not to make anybody ever have to scramble, but only to have some fun. Mark Hansby is an interesting person. He's a wonderful player. He did win on the tour. He won on the European Tour, won Korn Ferry Tour multiple times, won on the Champions Tour once. He was T3 at the US Open, and he was a T15 at the Open Championship, a T5 at the Masters. He's played well in all the majors,
Yeah.
but there's some things about Mark Hensby that a lot of people don't know. And there's one thing about him that people don't know, and that is he has something very, very interesting about him that you would be shocked to know. He is a very interesting player, and we're going to have some fun with Mark when he comes on, and we're going to save all of that for when he comes on the show. Mark Hansby's birthday today, 55 years old. We appreciate him so very much, and we are going to be back very, very soon. Bob, thank you so much. Have a great week. We're going to be back on the PGA tour and the Champions Tour, and ladies are going to take a little break. DP World, all of that's going on. We'll be back on Great American Golf this coming Saturday
Okay.
on Great American Golf, Bob. 15 seconds, final word from you.
Obviously, people stay healthy, go out and try to consider yourself lucky when you can get out and enjoy yourself on a golf course and keep pace of play.
Yes, great idea. You don't want to get a penalty like they gave some recent players. Do
Yes.
we?
No.
All
Okay.
right, there he is. Dr. Bob, thank you so much for being with us. I want to thank Craig Renshaw and all of you for being with me. And I also want to list out a few companies like Ashworth Golf Apparel. Ashworth Golf Apparel is where you want to be. Their spring line is absolutely gorgeous. Summer clothes, apparel, everything you can wear and use and play, both on the course and off the course, Ashworth Golf Apparel. You'll see me wearing it everywhere I go. You'll see me wearing it on all of my television shows, all of my videos. They're all out there for you. Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Match Play TV and on LinkedIn at Ray Adams. And I want to thank Free Baller. You want some free golf balls? Well, with your course's permission, you can go out and Free Baller has a black light on it. It's one of my favorite PGA Merchandise Show products of the year from this last January's PGA show. Free Baller will be in my America's 250th birthday gift guide. You want to go to freeballer.com for that Free Baller. And then you also want to make sure you go to Desert Fox. DesertFoxGolf.com. Their phone holders, all their accessories, they are licensed with all of the big NCAA teams. You want to go to DesertFoxGolf.com. And we appreciate them so much for also being in the America's 250th gift guide. And I have another wonderful, wonderful, wonderful new sponsor that is on the show with me. Starting effective immediately, you're going to be hearing from my favorite and chosen, my official real estate agent for Rocky Point Properties. Alicia Villarreal lives in Phoenix, but she also has a beautiful property that she owns and lives in Rocky Point, Mexico, about 4.5 hours from Phoenix. It's a wonderful place down there on the Sea of Cortez. She's the broker owner of Soluna Peñasco Realty. She'll be in America's 250th gift guide. She'll be on the show with me soon to talk all about owning property in Mexico and especially in Rocky Point, Mexico, also officially known as Puerto Peñasco. We love it down there. We've been down there many times. We'll be going back soon. And you want to go to her website, welcome to rockypoint.com. Elisa Villarreal, welcome to rockypoint.com. This is a big, big deal for Elisa to be on with me. We've been talking about it for a long time. And can't wait for her to come on and talk all about property and the lifestyle and the beauty on the Sea of Cortez in Rocky Point, Mexico. So we thank Alicia. And those are just some of the companies that are going to be in the gift guide. So we've got several more. And I will be talking all about that this coming Saturday on Great American Golf with you right here on the golfnewsnet.com and out on all the big audio platforms. I'm Ray Adams signing off for now. Have a wonderful week. Stay cool, stay hydrated, use that sunscreen. You know, I've been harping on it. I've been begging, pleading, advising from my own experience. Make sure you get those electrolytes in on the course and whatever you're doing, outdoor sports wise, exercise wise, and do put on that sunscreen. And don't forget the top of your ears, where, yeah, my dermatologist found a pre-cancer spot. So I know about it. Talk with you soon. Stay safe, stay fun, have a great week. I'll be back with you on the 4th of July, Independence Day, coming up this week, Saturday, for Great American Golf.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.